may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's play a game. You fill in the blank for the following Bible verse. Among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than blank. Got your answer? Matthew 11:11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. And I've got a pretty good citation for this one. This is actually said by Jesus Christ himself. Now clearly Jesus isn't saying that John is greater than he is. And clearly this is not saying that Jesus was not born of Mary. He speaks very clearly about these things throughout the scriptures. But what Jesus is saying is that John is the greatest prophet of all time, next to him, of course. His message is greater value than all the words of Isaiah or Elijah or even Moses. Zechariah sings about this in our text today in a song we call the Benedictus. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people. John is the last opening act before the headliner takes the stage. He gives knowledge of salvation. Yet I think for many of us, he's a pretty shadowy figure. We don't know too much about him. But if he is the greatest prophet, second only to Jesus, and if he gives knowledge of salvation, as the scriptures say, then you are wise to listen to his words. Especially today, when the church throughout the world remembers the nativity of St. John the Baptist. What is his message? Prepare the way of the Lord. Our theme for this morning is, listen to the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Our story begins with Zechariah. For the father of John the Baptist, the guy who is going to prepare the way of the Lord, he's certainly unprepared. Zechariah is the high priest, and Zechariah was to go into the holiest place of the temple on the single holiest day of the year and ask for pardon of Israel's sins. While he was in the Holy of Holies, an angel says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, and you are to call him John. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn hearts to their parents and to their children, hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." But Zechariah himself is not prepared to believe this. He replies, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." He says this is impossible, we're too old. The angel rebukes Zechariah. "You will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." 9 months later, a mute Zechariah calls for a tablet and writes, "His name is John." Even at his birth, John preaches his message of preparation. How do we prepare for the Lord? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word repent in the Greek means to change your mind. You thought it felt good to look down your nose and slander that person. Now you know it is evil. Change your mind. Repent. C.S. Lewis once said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance. If it is true, it is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." Has Jesus become moderately important to us? We make him moderately important when we neglect the study of his word, when we skip church, when we skip Bible class and daily reading. Zechariah said that John would bring knowledge of salvation. Do we know more about Thunder basketball than the one whose voice thundered on Mount Sinai? Repent. Everywhere around us, there are people in need. Don't put the blinders on and think only of those who are financially impoverished. There are people who need us emotionally to talk to, need us physically to volunteer, need us mentally to give advice, we have shrugged our shoulders with indifference and said, that's their problem. Shudder to think if our Lord had done the same. Repent. Have you ever tried to give someone a gift they didn't want? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you as your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. John desires to give forgiveness to all on his account. But when the unrepentant heart says, nah, I'm good. Thanks, but no thanks. Don't you know? Jesus, that was a stressful day. And don't you know that we all have needs? And when what I did was perfectly natural. So, you know, it's not a sin after all. How absurd it is when we say things like this. When we as creatures say to the Creator what is and is not perfectly natural. Repent. The unrepentant will not receive forgiveness because they do not want it. And worse yet, they are offended by the idea that they even need it. This is a tragedy of tragedies. How often I have longed to gather, but you were not willing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John preached repentance, but he also preached of one who is after me, one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. When John sees his long-awaited Messiah for the first time, he exclaims, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Is Jesus great because he is God? Certainly. He is even greater because he is the Lamb of God who lays his life down to save us. Right before we receive communion, we sing the beautiful and ancient hymn, the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us, grant us peace. He does just that. Look at the Old Testament lesson. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Are you afflicted by guilt? Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Are you at war with yourself? Paul says, for in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind. On the last day, our Lord will speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended. And you will receive from the Lord's hand double for all your sins. In Old Testament times, the oldest heir would receive a double portion. So if a father had 4,000 acres of land and three sons, the oldest would receive 2,000 and the younger two brothers 1,000 each. They get a double portion. Christ comes to die as the sacrificial lamb, not only to cancel your debts, but also to credit your account with his inheritance, his royal inheritance. Who receives a royal inheritance? The child of the king does. That is exactly what you are by baptism. You are born again, the child of the King of Kings, a co-heir with Christ. As we've seen in Scripture today, John is the preparer. He is the Russell Westbrook to Jesus' Kevin Durant. This is why John preaches a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's baptism was not the same baptism that you and I received, but it did prepare for Jesus' baptism. It showed that, it let people know that despite the humble-looking water, despite this kind of empty-looking ritual, God is doing something here. And he prepared that mindset for Jesus and his baptism. And where does John preach all these things from? The wilderness. He was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel, says the gospel lesson. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, says the Old Testament reading. In case you're unaware, the disciples and prophets did not have unlimited text messaging. They had no backspace button. They were very deliberate about what they wrote. They didn't account for pointless details. It is not meaningless that they note him being in the wilderness, because God's people are always in the wilderness. The most well-known example of this is Israel's wandering in the desert after crossing the Red Sea. The modern Israel, the Church of Jesus Christ, you and I, are on a very similar journey. If you were with us for VBS, you might even call it an amazing desert journey with Jesus. We are the Church of Christ, and we did not pass through the Red Sea, but we all passed through the water of baptism, and we are on our way to the Promised Land. But for now, we, like John, are in the wilderness. A wilderness, or a desert, the same word in Hebrew, is the perfect image for this world. It is easy to get lost in the desert. Every direction looks the same, but of course every direction is not the same. Many have stood up and thought throughout time to say, "Follow me, I know the way. Follow me to nirvana, follow me to happiness. Follow me in making the best of our life here. See, it's not really a desert after all. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." But you know this is a desert. The brokenness of this world has shown you it is a desert. St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." We are restless until we find eternal rest with him in the promised land of the New Jerusalem. You know the story. The only way to the promised land is to follow the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. God has not seen fit to give you physical pillars, but he gives you the Holy Spirit, the very same Holy Spirit which John the Baptist saw descend on Jesus at his baptism. The Holy Spirit works like the pillars of old. Through word and sacrament, he leads you to the promised land. To quote Luther, the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. One true faith? One true faith? You really believe that? How intolerant of you. We should not be surprised when these things are said by the other people in the wilderness. Paul says, "The way of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." They may even hate you for the gospel. They hated Jesus, and they hated John for preparing his way. Both were killed. We shouldn't think God does not care for us if we are suffering right now. Did God not love Jesus and John? Of course he did. God has not abandoned you. He promises the opposite, in fact. If you are in pain, well, it's because you are in a desert. But take heart. The promised land is right around the bend. It is a beautiful thing to trust God, even when it looks like you're going deeper into the wilderness and not coming out of it. And when we daily wander away from the path, it is good to daily repent of our wrongdoing. I was at the store the other day, and I saw a child on a leash. This child was the personification of the Tasmanian devil. He was running around the best he could with the amount of leash he had, picking things up, putting things down. This is how we are. It's constantly distracted by the mundane and paying no attention to our Father. This is why we repent, and our Father forgives us. By faith and repentance, you are prepared for his return. But more than prepared, you await with expectant joy. In conclusion, remember John the Baptist. Remember the message of repentance. Remember the one greater than him who died for you. Finally, remember that you are in the wilderness. May God sustain you with the true manna, his Son Jesus Christ, and keep you in faith until you reach the promised land. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, into life everlasting. Amen.